Welcome to episode 317 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Isaiah. And Izzy.
Really?
Dude, I thought about it right as I was saying it.
I know. There was a hesitation right there.
Well, it's because after the 317, I was waiting for you to go, you didn't mess it up again. And then because I was prepping for you, it threw off my intros.
There was an audible pause both before you said 317, where you were like, okay, I gotta focus on saying this correctly, and then another pause, which sounded more like, I'm gonna do this just to fuck with him.
No, that was like a, oh shit, wait, which one's the right way? I forgot alphabetization, so. Oh, well.
This is what happens when we both can't make the same show, like, 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah, then I get so used to just saying Miss Zaya because you're not here, or
Coxswain Zaya,
and just messes her thing up.
She has a nautical title. Show some respect.
I'll save that for you. I'm just over here scrubbing the poop deck.
Boats make me pukey.
That's why you're just in charge of the rope.
Dust rope. So we have some big news this week, but we'll get into it later. We'll cover everything else beforehand before we talk about the Wired article. As far as new releases, I don't think there's anything initially big. There is a flash sale going on right now, which seems to be pretty usual. It's an Easter flash sale. It ends on... Let's see. When's the end date for this flash sale?
22nd.
22nd? Okay, that's what I thought. So Monday. Pretty early in the morning. But yeah, I'm assuming everybody's already seen it. A lot of stuff. Assassin's Creed Odyssey's on sale. It's a... $20 or $26.40 for the deluxe edition, $33 for the gold, and $40 for the ultimate. And then the Legacy of the First Blade DLC is $15. I don't know how much that's discounted because I bought the season pass, so I'm not sure exactly what the regular price would be. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy is $24. And then Just Cause 4 is 50% off. There's a couple other things too. Metro Exodus is discounted, it's at $45 right now. Or something I saw. I was like, oh, nice. That game's discount. Oh, there was the Division 2. I was like, oh, sweet. It's because, you know, the splash screen's like up to 50% off. And I went to Division. It's like, hey, you can get it for $50. And I'm like, not as big of a discount as I thought it was going to be. Yes, yeah, so you can check this out. A lot of Elder Scrolls Online. A lot of the currency, the crowns you can buy too. And moving on, we have a launch trailer for Mortal Kombat 11, which comes out next week. And it's
I didn't even realize this was being made.
You didn't know Mortal Kombat 11 was coming out? They had the trailer at, you know, the Game Awards when they interrupted the racing game thing.
I know. It still somehow didn't register.
But it's funny. Ed Boon, in an interview with Game Informer, had talked about how they originally thought about coming out to doing the interruption during the family-friendly game segment or award, whatever it's called. But they thought, like, now that might be a little too much.
No, it would have been so good.
Yeah,
Cowards.
It would have been great. Yeah, they should have done it. But yeah, the last minute, I think they changed it. But the trailer's really cool because it actually uses the Mortal Kombat theme song from the movies, which I never realized was strictly from the movies. Like, in my head, it's just that's just the Mortal Kombat music. Like, it was from one of the games, and then they put it into the movie. But it's pretty cool. I'm really looking forward. I want to play the story. I need to catch up on the story from 10. I think I actually have to go back and check out the story for 9 as well, because I believe it's 10 directly after 9, the events of 9. But yeah, it looks, I like the whole concept for the story in 11, and it looks like a lot of fun. We also got a trailer for a documentary for the making of God of War called Raising Kratos. Sony put it up on their YouTube channel. You can watch it, it's like about 3 minutes long. It looks like it's going to be pretty heavily behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, there's a lot of early footage during making it. I mean, you got 5 years, essentially, that you could probably pull footage from. I always wonder about that situation where, like, how much... At what point do you go, you know what? Hey, let's start recording this. It could... if the game does well, it could be a documentary. And if not, mm-hmm. then we don't do anything. It's kind of like how when Bethesda did that for Fallout 76 and allowed Noclip to... go in there behind the scenes and record a bunch of the development stuff, which I thought was really cool. You know, granted, the game didn't launch great and everything, but I thought that was really awesome to let someone come in and record all this stuff to make this documentary for your game right before launch. I thought that was really cool. So I'm looking forward to this. No idea how long it's going to be. No release date for the trailer itself or the trailer, sorry, the documentary. But hopefully soon. It just says soon on the end of it. And it does end with some unseen, I guess, unused trailer footage, because I was like, this isn't in the game, this scene you end on. So, but yeah, that'll be a...
Answer your question about like the documentary thing, though, I feel like it's got to be like, you know, certain games are going to be an interesting process, whether they succeed or fail. And God of War is probably one of them. Like, whether it did really well or whether it totally flopped, like, I feel like, you know, God of War is a safe bet for at least being interesting.
I feel
plus,
like
when does one ever flop?
Well, Ascension didn't do as well. That was the last one that wasn't a super high-performing God of War title. Even though I really liked Ascension, the game was gorgeous. It looked really good. It had one of the hardest... The Trials of Archimedes was, like, the hardest segment of any game I had played at that time. I was like, good God. And I beat it pre-patch, because they patched it because it was so difficult. Jeez, man, that was, like, a day and a half, me just going crazy. But, almost broke my controller. I was like so frustrated. But yeah, that one didn't. But I can imagine, like, if this game just totally flopped, like got like fives, I feel like Sony wouldn't put out the documentary. Like, maybe it'd be one of those things, like, if someone had the file, they might leak it years later, or maybe give some of that footage to, like, if NoClip went back and wanted to check out, like, you know, what went wrong kind of thing, or if there's that kind of documentary. But I feel like Sony proper wouldn't be like, yeah, yeah. You know, we put a ton of money in this game, didn't do well, put out the documentary. But yeah, so that's a... I look forward to that. That should be pretty pretty cool. And then what else do we have? Apex Legends got a patch this week, updated some of the legend balancing. We talked about it a while back, where there was a hitbox issue or concerns because some of the characters were significantly bigger than the others, and all the hitboxes are pretty much modeled around exactly how the characters look. So it gave a little bit of a disadvantage to some of these bigger characters. The one it was broken on was Pathfinder, who was the robot. Like, you couldn't shoot between his robot legs. It would still count as a hitbox. So they fixed that pretty quick, and that worked out really well. But there were still two legends that were big, Caustic and Gibraltar, and they were trying to figure out what they're going to do, and they decided not to shrink their hitboxes. Instead, they added a 10% damage buff to the characters, and it seems to be working. I mean, I'm glad it wasn't like, because I was curious what they're going to do. I don't know if it's been tested, because my question was, you know, this game, just like PUBG and Fortnite, has armor, so you have this shield you can get that's more akin to Fortnite, and I was wondering, okay, well, does the damage buff apply to the shields? Because technically it's the armor you're wearing that's taking that hit, not the physical damage you're taking. But I don't know if that's been confirmed or not, whether the buff applies to that. But then they also did some weapon balancing as well. Changed some of the gold guns to make them have a little more better attachments. Nerfed a couple weapons to make them a little less OP in the early game, which is fine. But yeah, it's good to see. And then there was also an interview... I won't go over it because I just saw it, and so I never didn't have a chance to read it. I didn't even realize this was a thing. Actually, I guess I knew it was a thing. I didn't realize this article presented it as Shuhei Yoshida had an interview with someone else. But there was I don't know if you're familiar with the podcast done by Ted Price with the AIHS, I believe it's called. Let's see. Yeah, the AIAS Game Makers Notebook. It's a podcast that Ted Price does with people where he interviews them. Like, he talks to Justin Ma, from Into the Breach, or like Brian Intihar from Insomniac as well, or Vincent Pella from Respawn, Mike Bithell, all these people. So Genova Chen, he interviewed Genova Chen at one point. But they're really good interviews. I like it because it's a game maker interviewing other game makers. So it's cool to have a host that has that deep dev knowledge to kind of ask much more involved questions than like an IGN or a Game Informer, where they're not necessarily familiar on the back end. And I guess Shuhei Yoshida was on that, and he talks a lot about creating new IPs, development, and his vision of the future. So if you can either listen to that podcast, or you can go on to Twinfinite, they have an article up where they kind of break down some of the stuff that Shuhei said during the podcast interview, so you can check it out there. It's a really long article. I just skimmed through it, and it's like, oh my god, it's pretty long. So it looks like they must, because I think the podcast itself is about an hour long. Yeah, it's an hour and 4 minutes. So it looks like they must have basically transcribed every big conversation into this article. But yeah, definitely check that out if you're curious about Shuhei's insight into all things PlayStation. And then yeah, that's it for all the minor stuff. Then the biggest news this week, which landed at like 8 a.m. in the morning on Monday, was a wide interview. 8
a.m. in the morning, you know.
Yeah, that's how you do it. He's like, hey, you know what? We have this crazy article where we interviewed Mark Cerny to talk about the next-gen PlayStation. Stored up at 8 a.m.
I was going more for 8 a.m. at night, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I like to, gotta get those redundancies.
Gotta pontificate.
Like when the subtitles say Los Angeles, California, as opposed to Los Angeles, Minnesota. Like CinemaSins, but but yeah, there was a big article with Mark Cerny just sitting down with Wired talking about next gen stuff for the next PlayStation. They don't call it PlayStation 5 in the article, but he essentially covers the CPU and GPU. I'm trying to see if someone has a better breakdown so I can read it there, because unfortunately the Wired article doesn't really give like a bullet point. I don't know why I clicked that one first instead of the actual breakdown, but. I think the biggest takeaways people have are mainly two things. Is the CPU, which is significantly better, because it's, let me try to find it on here. That's why I wish I had a bullet point one, because at least I can actually read the breakdown versus just skimming this freaking article. But it's based off the AMD Ryzen line. It's the Ryzen Gen 2 or Gen 3 Zen 2 architecture, which about a year ago, maybe, AMD, they put out these roadmaps for, you know, where they're at with their current chips, and then when their next chipsets are going to start coming out. And they have this pretty big timeline. And one of them was like, oh, it won't go into production until late 2019 into 2020. So people were speculating, well, if the PlayStation, a lot of people think of PS5 and Xbox, whatever, is going to come out in 2019. There was all that speculation. Like, oh, 2019 will be the next consoles. But if they were to come out in that time frame, then you could see, well, if they stick with AMD, they can't use these more advanced chipsets that they're putting up there. They're going to have to use these ones over here, which are cheaper, not as good, they're kind of standard. Whereas that's kind of how they did it with the PS4, is a lot of the... And Xbox One X is, or Xbox One rather, is a lot of the internal architecture was kind of just pretty standard off the market stuff, minus the, it wasn't like next gen or a huge leap. It wasn't in the pipeline kind of things from AMD. So people were speculating, well, if that's the case, then it's not going to be as strong as they want it to be. Yeah, so now that they confirmed that it's the third generation AMD Ryzen line, then that's not launching until later this year for the public consumer side of things. So it definitely means that, okay, you're going to have the better chipset, which is what the console desperately needs, is a better CPU. That's going to be really nice. And the GPU is going to be a custom variant of Radeon's Navi family, which apparently will support ray tracing, which I don't think necessarily they mean for visuals, because Mark Cerny talks a lot about using ray tracing for better audio, you know, like, because you can trace those sound rays and figure out where your sound as a player could bounce off objects and maybe like alert enemies. And he talks a lot about audio, how putting a custom piece onto the GPU for audio specifically to focus more on, see it right here. It says the AMD chipset also includes a custom unit for 3D audio that Cerny thinks will redefine what sound can do in a video game. And he talks about here, quote, this is from Cerny himself, as a gamer, it's been a little bit of a frustration that audio did not change too much between PS3 and PS4. With the next console, the dream is to show how dramatically different the audio experience can be when we apply significant amounts of hardware horsepower to it. Which I think is really cool, because there are a lot of games that actually do really well with the virtual surround or their own kind of audio techniques to make that kind of stand out. Games like, you can always look at Hellblade does it really well. Of course, they just do. They have that binaural audio. But there are a lot of the games that Sony specifically have put out specific patches for like their Pulse headsets, for like Uncharted and stuff like that. And there's some really good things that people have done with 3D audio. But to actually, it's all been like software side. So to have nice hardware dedication to it means they can do even more, which would be really cool. And then he also, and then one of the concerns is how people go, okay, well, that's great. Well, you're doing this better audio stuff, but you know, you got sound coming out your TV. And he does say, well, you'll still be able to experience that good audio quality with your TV speakers, but the gold standard going forward would be with headphones, which I thought was really awesome because I game a lot with headphones. I mean, I, even when I'm home alone, usually if I'm playing multiplayer, headphones. If I'm playing like a big bombastic kind of game, it's like I want that experience. I want that audio. So I have the visuals with my TV. And the best audio I can do is headphones.
Headphones have always been the gold standard for sound. There's a reason why like major sound companies and things and recording studios record with headphones. It's a lot easier to control and it's a lot higher quality than trying to set up a room with speakers.
Yeah, the thing was, there weren't a whole lot of consumer gaming side headsets that had surround sound, at least, you know, back in the day. So having the 5.1 stereo system at home for like PS3, once that gen started getting games with surround sound, that was kind of your go-to, was have the sound system in your house. And until they slowly started, you know, getting past the stereo headsets and marketing these gaming ones, either with microphones and whatnot, that had either a virtual surround sound or actually had 5.1 or eventually like says 7.1 virtual surround sound. So I feel like now that they've caught up at least on that side versus just having some like super expensive, you know, music studio Sennheisers or something, you have this gamer line essentially specifically for that. So it's cool to see that that's where it's going. Because yeah, I would love to have, I love games that have really great audio, and to see, to know that they'll have like this hardware to do it even better is great. Yeah, he didn't drop any, like, I watched Digital Foundry. They had a big, long, like 40-minute discussion about the speculating about all this information once it happened. And of course, they don't talk too much about the GPU. He doesn't drop any teraflops, nothing like that. They didn't talk about RAM, so we have no idea what the RAM's going to be. But the other big thing that people caught was that there's going to be an SSD in the next PlayStation. And they demoed the benefits of it by showing Spider-Man from PS4. And it's also going to be backwards compatible with PS4, which is a big news as well. But they showed Spider-Man running on PS4, I think just a regular PS4, not a PS4 Pro. And the fast travel took, I want to say the fast travel took 19 seconds. I don't know, 15 seconds. Yeah, it took 15 seconds to fast travel on PS4, and then using the dev kit tower that they had there, they did it in 0.8 seconds. So it's like 19 times faster. It's just ridiculous. Of course, he talks about how, you know, SSDs, you can put SSDs in the current console now. Like, he can put one in the PS4 Pro if he wants, but it's not going to make it get that much faster because the I/O isn't there for... I mean, if you look at I believe both PS4 and PS4 Pro are still running the SATA 2 connections and not SATA 3. So you have that hardware limitation. So now that they optimize the I/O on the next PlayStation, they can definitely use that speed from an SSD much better. And he talks about how the SSD that they're working on it's going to utilize the new PCIe 4.0 standard, which Cerny claims it has a raw bandwidth higher than any SSD available on PCs. So, which of course, that could just mean that whomever they're working with, eventually that stuff will just come to PC eventually. So sure, it could be faster than what's out on PCs right now, but once that comes out to PC, then they'll just be the same. But the question is too, is like, is this going to be proprietary? And because if they go the Xbox 360 route, where it's a proprietary hard drive, then they could just sell like, oh, here, it comes with, you know, whatever. Because that's another thing. Is it going to come with a 500? Is it a terabyte? 2 terabytes? You know? And then if you want to upgrade, can you just... Because obviously they wouldn't want you to grab any, you know, standard, you know, PCIe 3 SSD, and then because the devs, they have to, they're going to be building off the base specs of a console.
I feel like they have to make it good enough that you're not going to want to upgrade, at least initially. Like when I first bought my PS4, the first thing I did was toss in a better hard drive.
Of course.
I feel like with this route that they're going, which is a good route, they basically have to make it so that you don't want to upgrade right away. That maybe you do 2 years from now, but at the start, that you don't really care about it.
Well, they could also do it where, like the only reason I upgraded is because I want the more storage. Like I, dealing with PS3, I knew like immediately, okay, I want a 2 terabyte hard drive. I'm going to get one. And I got the SSHD, put it in there. But if they launch, even if it was like 500, but it being the super fast SSD, if they, they'll have to launch with external storage. So then let's say I hook up an external 2 terabyte. So I load all my games on the SSD that I'm currently playing. And then when I don't play them, I can just transfer them to the external. And then if I ever want to go back, I just transfer them back to the SSD so I can have that, you know, base standard speed that I need to play this game effectively. I feel like that could be, and that would be totally fine with a lower capacity SSD if I have that huge benefit of load times. But not just load times, they also talked about how they showcased that in Spider-Man, obviously, and same thing in Infamous Second Son. You're limited, the speed of your character is limited by how quickly you can stream in these assets. So in Spider-Man, you have a max speed, you can never pass it. Same with Infamous Second Son when you use the neon powers. Like you can, if you go too fast, then you break the game because it's not going to load. And they show like they remove those limitations in Spider-Man and they're moving like super fast and it's still loading all the stuff because they're using this this SSD. So it's like a, that's really cool. Not only can you get that stream in that data quicker, but also get those fast load times. So, but again, it'll be really curious to see what the size is and if it's a proprietary or if it's not proprietary and only requires like, hey, it launches with this and by the time it's out, you know, oh, I'm totally blanking on hardware manufacturers for hard drives, but like you know, by the time Seagate. Seagate, but by the time this is out for PlayStation, because typically I think on PS3 it was a Seagate as well, the default drive, and I think on PS4 it was a Seagate. So let's say they launch they launch with this hard drive. And it's like, by the time that comes out, the PCI 4.0 standard is already established. And then Seagate has consumer variants of, oh, here's a 1 terabyte, here's a 1.5, here's a 2. And then if you want, you could upgrade to a bigger SSD. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. But yeah, it's definitely, I'm really curious to see what they do with that I.O. On the system. Because that would be great to have a much faster, because that's also the limitation right now, is it's the hard drives, it's that read write speed, that input output, you gotta make it faster. But yeah, and that's all they had there was that information. And then it was funny because then later that afternoon Microsoft announced their Xbox One sad edition, Xbox One S All Digital Edition. So the people call it the Xbox Sad Edition.
Wow, that's an unfortunate naming scheme.
And apparently they have this really bad... Yeah. They apparently have a really bad trailer for it that's just that people have been ragging on, which I haven't watched yet, but it also...
Is it a joke?
No, it's all... They got rid of the disk drive. The trailer makes it seem like it's an April Fool's joke, I guess, is what everybody's saying who's seen the trailer.
Yeah. Well, it's called bad. Sad.
They call it sad. People, everybody else,
right?
But it's, I'm just saying, not like just calling it that. It's because that's what the letters are.
Right.
So they named it the Sad Edition and released a bad trailer that almost sounds like a satirical joke, making fun of, like, I don't know, Sony announcing new stuff. Maybe like it seems a bit.
Well, they've been working on this. The rumors they've been working on this has been there for a while. They're doing an all digital edition. The thing is that it's launching at $250, and everybody was speculating that, hey, if you're going to do an all digital console, make it like $200 or $150. Make it super cheap. And then, you know, so because people are going to have to either A, you can have them bundle in your Game Pass subscription and use that, or just they know they can only do digital games. Like, there needs to be some better incentive. Because people look at it as like, oh, you got rid of the disc drive, you just can't buy physical games. It's like, yeah, but you also can't watch 4K movies. I mean, that was the one thing I always thought was weird, that Sony didn't allow 4K movies to be. I'm hoping PS5 does that, because I'm like, A, the 4K Blu-ray player I have from whomever I bought, whatever brand I bought, it's like, it's not that great. It's okay, but it has some trouble sometimes reading certain 4K discs, and which is pretty common across multiple players, except I think like one special brand. It's like, I just want to put these in my console. I don't have to put them into a different device.
That's something crazy. I thought the rumor I saw said that it would be able to play 8K stuff. Which...
Cerny did say, let me do a control find on the 8K. Okay, here he goes. He goes, while the next-gen console will support 8K graphics... Okay, hold on. That's just the first mention. And he just says supports it. But I don't think it's going to be, like, output. It could be, like, it supports the standard, so the HDMI standard, which makes sense, because I think the 8K is on HDMI 2.2, which a lot of things already have, I think. Or is it 2.1? One of them. So I think it's just saying, like, it supports that output. Like, right now, the PS4 Pro supports 4K, not just 4K gaming, but you can watch 4K content through the console. So, like, Netflix, I can watch 4K. So, obviously, if you have Netflix on a device that doesn't support that, you can't do it. Like, I can't watch 4K on, like, my PS3. It doesn't support that, because, A, it doesn't have the HDMI standard to do that. But, like, I can watch, again, YouTube 4K content on my PS4, but then that comes down to those applications need the update to do it, because like I can't watch 4K Hulu or Vudu through PS4. I have to do that through my TV, because they have they've updated their application on my TV and not on the PlayStation.
Who the fuck watches Vudu?
Because it has it's your digital copies. Like a lot of 4K movies and Blu-rays had their digital copies were through Vudu if they weren't through iTunes. And then I think when Ultraviolet collapsed, they merged all their content with Vudu. And it's good. It's because not every streaming service that offers 4K is the same. Like, they're not all that great. But Vudu's streaming capabilities were good. Like, I watched Wonder Woman 4K and Spider-Man 4K to see how they looked through there versus the physical disc. Obviously, physical disc is better. But yeah, it's just saying it will support 8K. So it doesn't mean that'll be the standard. I mean, there's not really 8K standard TVs out there right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. Definitely excited about that CPU. And then, the SSD. It's like all this good info about. And he did say there was a follow-up article. I wish I can find it. Where they were talking about price. Like, people were speculating, like, oh, it's going to be like $1 billion.
Yep. Because that's a reasonable price.
A follow-up that said, where he said, I wish I remember the exact quote. Because I, for some reason, the article wasn't on To Infinite when I was looking for it. But he said the pricing. Oh God, I'm gonna look it up. Okay, I want to get the exact wording. I don't want to butcher Mark Cerny.
His pricing stuff voice. Always bothers me, because people are like, they're gonna make it so expensive. No, they're a company. They realize that they have to make it affordable to actually sell units. This is
right.
Not new to them.
Yeah. Here's what he says. He said that quote. The PS5 price will be appealing. He didn't say PS5 price. This is the quote. He says it will be appealing in light of its advanced feature set. So, which is kind of a double meaning kind of quote there.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's going to be. He doesn't want to say it's going to be expensive, but I mean, it's going to be a new console. Of course, it's going to be up there, especially with all these new hardware features and stuff. But it's not going to be like the Samsung folding phone.
I pretty much read that as it's going to have advanced features and it will be slightly cheaper than you would expect for the features it has. So they'll probably not make much of a profit on it, or they'll take a hit. I mean, they make their money on the games more than consoles. Like, consoles help, but the software is where they want all the deals. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be horrible. I doubt it's going to be like 600. I think they realized that was too much.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be 500.
Yeah, I could see it being... I could totally see it. And you know what? I'd be fine with that.
I've used my white PS4 since it came out. I've gotten plenty of use out of it. I'm totally fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still have my OG PS4 in the other room.
I don't know where mine is. I think it's in a box somewhere. But, you know, we moved in the meantime, so.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd be, if it was $499, I'd be like, okay, I'll, that'd be fine. Especially, like they're saying, with the specs, like, because now I know, like, it's not just slightly better, same drive. It's like, oh, you're getting this SSD. And if it does perform as they're saying it will, it's like, okay, gimme.
You won't really need to. It won't be something where you'll be like, yeah, it's really expensive. I'm just going to wait for the next version because it'll be better. It's like, this is going to be leaps and bounds better than the previous generation, hopefully.
And it's backwards compatible, too. So that's like the other thing. It's like you're making this investment and it's not going to be that hard cut off from PS3 to PS4, even though PS4 was cheaper. But if PS4 were more expensive, you're like, okay, well, I'm losing out on all these games. But it's like, nah, I can play my PS4 games on PS5. It's like, okay.
One of the things I'm curious about is... will it play PS4 games better than a PS4? Than a PS4 Pro?
It'll play Sekiro better than PS4 Pro, I can tell you that.
I am still amazed that you have so much trouble with that. I have not had... I know this is a total segue and derailment. I have not had any frame dips or issues at all with that game on my OG PS4. It is like one of the best optimized From Software games I think I've ever played.
Well, it runs like shit on our console, so I don't know what the issue is or if I have a shit PS4, but like,
that's what
and
I'm
I understand that our comparison is between like a high-end PC with 144Hz monitors, but it runs like dookie, especially during boss fights. So
that's why I'm curious, is because I've read that a lot online about people saying it's not optimized well. We can get back in a second. It amazes me because I'm using the OG PS4 and it seriously, I think I've had maybe one like noticeable frame drop ever, and it was when I lagged and fell outside of the map. And other than that, like, I've never had anything, and people are like, oh my god, this game is so laggy. Runs so much better on PC, and it's just kind of like... It runs fine on mine. Like,
yeah, it runs fine on PS4, but it runs better on PC. Well, and when you go from PC to PS4, you absolutely notice the difference between like being able to actually block sometimes. Like, we hit the block button sometimes and Sekiro is just like, I'm going to die instead. How about that? Shit.
But part of me wonders if it was optimized for like... that maybe they built it on a specific PS4 model, and for some reason the optimization just didn't translate well to PS4 Pro or other PS4 models. That's because it seriously, it depends on what changed. But I don't know. It just amuses me because I've had no issues.
Yeah, but that's how it goes for anything. I mean, people go like, oh, I hate Verizon because it's shitty. It's like, I've had Verizon for 14, 15 years, I've had no problems. We're like, I have Bank of America, I hate it. It's like, or Comcast, I've had no issues. It's like, I've been able to replicate one of Zaya's problems she had back in Harada States, where she goes, oh, it'll dip here. And then I repeat that same path and I go, yep, here it is.
Yeah, it's like, Harada Estate was a really good example because it was the same exact place every single time. And I ran that path a lot. So it's like, I knew it. But we notice it in a lot of other places too. We had pretty consistent issues with like the Guardian Ape that dipped a lot, but in other places it just kind of was like random, or there was like a specific effect or something that was causing it.
I wonder if the more times you die in the game, if it just remembers it, and because I don't suck as bad as you, it just
oh damn,
I'm gonna fucking go over there and fight Isley. I'm gonna find Isley and fight him.
It's not like it's Fallout where it's caching all this memory
right, it's like loading all of the areas that I've ever died.
Wait, I thought that was a good reason.
No,
Isley will not be here next week after being murdered by Zaya.
I'll pay your dad to take you out to dinner. But yeah, it could just be one of the things where it's like, you could have, it's Zaya's just one of those cases where there's plenty of games I see on the subreddit where like, anybody having a problem with this or that, and it's like, they have that one problem. It's like it's something. It could be they need to uninstall and defrag their drive or something. Or
because I had those issues with Assassin's Creed Odyssey too, where it there was a couple times, but it was only a couple times where it's like the game would just dip to like 2 frames a second. I couldn't figure out what the issue was. Michael never had. Well, I think Michael had that issue once, but I never saw anybody else have that issue.
Yeah,
and I've
had
seen other people have issues with other games that we never had an issue with or that I noticed.
For me, it was when you go to the Cyclops, not the actual Cyclops boss, but the dude they called the Cyclops, and it involved, you know, hiding the his eye in the goat's butt or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Like that section, that fortress near the water, like there was one segment there where that happened to me. It's like if I was sneaking around taking people out stealthily, and then suddenly I turn and I look. I'm not even looking out in the water. I'm like, I'm looking at the mountainside, and it's all of a sudden it just frame drop, and I'm like, my God. And it was, and that was, that's the only place I had that happen was in that one spot, but it was like, what is this? And then, of course, I had that glitch later on that I had to.
And I had problems with, like, usually when that happened, it was because my character model was, like, stretching out into, you know, infinity for some reason. It was, like, glitched into the floor. And it's just, like, weird things would just happen. Like, stuff wouldn't work properly, and the AI was broken, and some quests were broken until I, like, reloaded the game or something. Like, it was just weird. But, like, Final Fantasy 15, I've never had an issue with that, and I played the shit out of that game. We never had an issue with God of War, or we played Horizon a little bit on the Pro, never had an issue with that. It's just like random games just don't work in the way that they don't work for other people. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, it's it always sucks when you get that where like you had that problem that not many people have, because the worst part about having an issue that's so uncommon is it's really hard to find the resolution. It's like,
yeah, there's no way to fix it. You're just like, well, this is my life, because I don't know what to do about it.
This thread, I found a thread that the question, it has like 40 responses, and all the comments are like,
yeah, it's working fine for me. Yeah,
right.
I have it.
And it's like, don't comment. I just want the people that have the problem.
Yeah, but, like, what's the top rated one that's actually the solution?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I just looked, and the art director from God of War confirmed, the documentaries from being followed from for 4 years. So
jeez,
it's a long, long time.
That's hopefully pretty cool.
I'm hoping it's really long, and I hope they don't, I hope PlayStation doesn't break it out in fucking like 5-episode chunks. Like the beginning, the rise, the design, like just give it to me in one big 2-hour documentary.
Yeah, like that made sense when Noclip did it for 14, because they broke it up between like the failure and the relaunch and everything. But when it's like, when it's a single game that's just from start to finish, just let me fucking sit with some snacks and watch the whole thing.
Yeah, or
you
if you break
going
it up
to now, right?
Well,
as long as they're like 45 minutes now, because Noclip did it for The Witcher. It was like, because the first was establishing who's CD Projekt Red, so it's like, you know, this 40-minute episode.
Yeah.
And then later, and then once they finally got to Witcher 3, it was like big. That was, I think, 3 of the 5 segments was Witcher 3. And then, but they were long segments. So it's like, okay, just if you're going to break up in episodes, just don't, I just don't want them to do like a, here's a 15-minute episode. It's like,
yeah, like I can understand breaking up a 6-hour documentary into like hour long segments. That's fine. But yeah, don't
you just
make
want to sit
a,
down
a
and
season
actually
out of
enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
I want everything. I want all the nitty gritty. But yeah, that should be fun. Yeah, I'm curious how soon we'll get more info on the next PlayStation. Like, will they do, now that they've talked about it, will they do one of their state of play videos during E3 and be like, here's some new games, and by the way, here's some more info on the PlayStation, and then just like drop like an infographic with, you know, here's the teraflops, here's the how much RAM it has, yada yada.
Oh, I remember my initial point that made this entire segue. I wonder if the PS5 will play games, PS4 games, better than the PS4 Pro or something.
Basically,
will it negate the point of purchasing a PS4 or PS4 Pro, or will those price points, like the lower price points, still be worthwhile for people, is what I'm wondering.
You know, I don't think so, unless they, like they did with the Pro, unless they patch it specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what the Pro, you know, they have this because they added the boost mode later on. And the they said with boost mode, you can turn it on, but for some games it might cause problems. And I boost mode caused problems for me in Bloodborne. It would mess up, it would corrupt the save. And I did this big long Reddit post. Like, I tested it like multiple times in a row, and it would always corrupt the save if boost mode was on. At least in my particular case. But yeah, I don't think it'll be from the start, because there was that patent as well that they did a while ago on how to emulate backwards compatibility. It was backwards compatibility to emulate the architecture of the console in which that game was played. So, like, how to limit your hardware to make it act like if it was a PS1, a PS2, or in this case, a PS4. So I have a feeling they won't, especially because it's not the same Jaguar architecture. So it's going to be different. So that I feel like whatever they do, it's going to be just it works, but not a boost. But if there is a boost, it'll probably come from the first party. It's like, oh, here's the Uncharted patch for PS5, or here's a God of War patch for PS5 to be more at 60 frames, you know, or Spider-Man or something. But I don't think it'll be across the board, like, boost mode, because it's not quite like the Pro.
I think they'll just play better because they'll load faster.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, load faster.
I want to play 15 again without, you know, the 30 hours of load times.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because even on the Xbox One X, like, they have to go in and still optimize for each game they're doing, at least to get those better, that better performance, which is like they did with the Pro, until they games were made after a certain point, because then the Pro was already in the hands of the devs, so they could do it from the start if they wanted to do any Pro enhancements. But yeah, I'm excited that they do the backwards compatibility, and I figure it's great as well for games of service, because they were talking to, like, there's an interview with from IGN, their IGN Unfiltered, by Ryan McCaffrey. He had Yves Guillemot on there from Ubisoft, and they were talking about games and whatnot and next gen, but they were talking about Rainbow Six Siege specifically, and how if there would be like a second one, because that game's in its fourth year and it's doing really well. So, like, if you have these games that are still running like that, like, you just make a, because it's backwards compatible, just allow it to be downloaded off the store onto the PS5 and you could still play it. You don't have to worry about making a PS5 version. You can do a PS5 patch if you want. But yeah, just to bring it over, or don't patch it. That way, you can confirm there's cross play between PS4 and PS5. But
no kind of advantage or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know what kind of more advantage you can have in Siege, but yeah, there are games I can see definitely a bigger advantage. Like, especially if it's a game that runs sub, not quite 60, like Battlefield 5 or something, and then it just runs like full 60, asset streams are perfect, you know. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, definitely it looks like it's going to be 2020 with this stuff, which is cool, which I'm fine with. I'm wondering if it's going to be super late 2020.
Yeah. That'd be nice. Plenty of time to save money.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I want it, but at the same time, I'm totally okay with, honestly, like, PS4 is probably my favorite console that I've purchased. This thing has lasted for so long that I'm very content with it.
Yeah, I'm just and they said it's backwards compatible with PSVR, which is good news for VR users, or anybody who's been interested in VR at this point. They don't have to be like, oh, is it going to work on the next console? Because that's my biggest concern right now is Astro came out with a new controller. That's essentially a pro controller for the PS4, and it's been reviewing really well. And I'm like, oh, I really want to get this controller, but it's expensive, and I can't confirm if it's going to work on the next console. Now, if the next console is backwards compatible with the games, does that mean I can plug in a PS4 controller into that one and still use it, you know, for PS4 games and maybe PS5? Because you can use the PS4 controller on a PS3 for a huge chunk of games, but you can't plug in like a PS3 to PS4.
You could use a PS4 on a PS3?
Yeah, that was like a big thing when they first came out. Like, people were wondering, like, because they loved the PS4 controller so much more than the 3, like, can you use it on PS3? And they're like, yeah. It's like, it works on, you know, a lot of games that came out later in PS3's life cycle are compatible with the PS4. You have to play it wired. You can't play it Bluetooth. But then there are some games where it's like, just like with boost mode, there's a big old list. Like, here's all the games that work flawlessly. And here's all the games that you have to do, like, a workaround, where it's like, obviously, the touchpad won't work. Or, like, there's games where the PlayStation button wouldn't work. So, to do it, you'd have to turn on your console with the PS3 remote and then plug in your PS4 remote. But that was easy. You just unplug the cord and plug the other one in. And then you can navigate and launch the game. But, yeah, there's a huge long list of games that were, because I went back and I was playing some games. I forget what I was playing. And I was using the PS4 remote. And I was like, ah, I like this. This is real nice. But yeah, hopefully we get some more. I'm curious what Microsoft's going to do when they start, because now they launched their digital console, but they got to, when are they going to talk about their, you know, next console proper? Like, I guess.
Ah, yes, the console war, my favorite.
Here we go again.
Yep. But you figure they're going to be using the exact same stuff, same CPU, most likely, because might as well. Like, I think they both are Jaguar, I don't remember, for at least the Xbox One. Not necessarily the X. I think the X is a little more custom, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. At least I like that it's out there now, so there's no more speculation about, ooh, maybe they use that. It's like, well, no, Sony's like, that, this is what we're using for CPU. Our GPU is based on this, SSD. And it's like, okay, now you can just speculate on RAM and price, and then what the controller will look like. But, oh yeah, well, that's the thing too, is like, I mentioned this Astro controller because the two back buttons that are really good, but it's like, will Sony, now that they've done partnering with these other controller manufacturers to make these PS4, you know, quote, pro controllers, will they just make their own like Microsoft does?
Or I've always been surprised that Sony hasn't made their own pro controller. That's always been weird to me. Like, I don't get why they never have explored that avenue. And I'm sure there's some financial reason why. It's strange because Microsoft does it. It's worked out well. And I got to imagine there's a lot of demand for, like, an official PS4 pro controller from people that just don't want to go third party.
Yeah, because there's so many other people that do them that... Like, you got your Mad Catz ones, you got your Razors, and they're all officially licensed. Like, the Razor's officially licensed. I think the Astro one is a officially licensed one as well. You got your SCUF controllers. But it's like, yeah, I would just like an official one. And then this one from Astro is just really good. I feel like that's the best of every one because it has the two big, huge buttons on the back, which is what I want. I don't like the paddles. But you can also offset the sticks if you want. If people like offset sticks, you just... pull up the capsule, drop in the other spot. There you go. Interesting to see. But I do want the sax buttons from the SCUF controller. I feel like that would be much better if I had that as well. That's it for this week in news. Like I said, we'll just have to wait to see when we get more PlayStation info. Just watch that Digital Foundry videos when they start speculating on what possibly could be the chipsets from that one person who leaks all these chip part numbers on Twitter and everything that are in manufacture right now. See if it's going to be those, but... All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Yep.
And we'll see you all next time.
Later.
Bye.